Creo.
This is Corporal Taylor. I'm in interview room number 2, the Professional Standards Unit, along with my partner, Sergeant Chris Revere. The date is Tuesday, October 23rd, and the time is 3:29 a.m. Also in the room is Officer Antonio Graham. And Officer Graham, you do realize you're being recorded, correct?
Yes.
And what is your badge number?
2965.
And Officer Graham is also being represented by his POA attorney.
Thank you.
I'm conducting an administrative investigation into the shooting incident in which you have been involved. During this investigation, I will be gathering facts and looking at the circumstances which led up to the shooting incident. At the conclusion of the investigation, the administration will review the incident to determine if department policy has been followed. You're admonished that if any information is obtained either during the investigation or during the administrative review that indicates you have violated any department orders, rules, regulations, policies, or procedures, you could be subject to disciplinary action. Do you understand?
Yes.
I'm giving you a direct order not to discuss this investigation or your interview with anyone other than your recognized representative, myself, or as compelled by law or legal proceeding. Failure to obey this order could result in charges and possible termination. Do you understand?
Yes.
Due to the nature of this administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it is important that you understand that criminally, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you before questioning if you wish. Do you understand each of the rights that I have explained to you?
Yes.
With these rights in mind, would you like to speak to me now?
No.
While you have the right to remain silent with regard to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am therefore ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your silence can be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline up to and including termination. Any statement you make under the compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally nor in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Prior to the interview, I understand that you were processed by the Sheriff's Department. They did a round count. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the uniform that you're wearing now, is that the same uniform that you were wearing a few minutes ago when you were processed by CSI?
Yes.
And do you have the list of all his gear?
I don't think they did one for him.
Okay. Just for the record, Officer Graham is wearing the navy blue patrol, short sleeve patrol uniform with Santa Ana Police patches, FTO rockers, name tag, police badge, along with a nylon Sam Brown containing duty weapon, extra magazines, keys, pack set, taser, two single handcuff cases, one pepper spray, and one flashlight. And is this what you were wearing when you were on patrol tonight earlier when this incident occurred?
Yes.
Okay. And were you driving a marked police car?
I was a passenger.
Okay, but you were in a black and white Santa Ana police car?
Correct.
Okay. And were you wearing gloves tonight?
No.
And were you using any type of a recording device?
No.
Oh, footwear was the only thing I got. Black, looks like black boots.
Yes.
And what time did you begin your shift?
1800 hours.
And did anything unusual happen during the shift prior to the shooting?
No.
And were you, you said you were a passenger. Who was your partner officer tonight?
Officer David Enriquez.
And your call sign?
352 Alpha.
The incident that we're discussing came out at 520 West Walnut, Santa Ana High School. If you could please just take us through the incident, the information that you recall getting via the radio, MDT, what you saw, what you heard, take us through the entire incident. Then we'll probably go back through and ask some questions as we go through it again. Okay?
Okay. Well, we received a call from dispatch. I answered on the radio that there was a man with a gun running away, chasing somebody in an area of the high school. I'm not sure exactly where we responded from. We could have been somewhere Maine and Willits or something like that. We were in an area that we were east of the location. We responded on the radio that we were responding. We went en route, and then I responded on the air that we were 97 to call. We then proceeded to go. Dispatch advised that they were receiving multiple calls of a subject in the area, possibly wearing a brown hoodie, last seen in the area of Pine, I believe Pine and Ross. So we go to Ross Street and go northbound to Ross, and we would come to the corner of Pine. And it was a gentleman standing in the middle of the street, another gentleman also on the street waving with a flashlight in his hand. They looked like security from somewhere in the area from the school. There was also two more individuals on the east sidewalk just north of the two subjects that were standing in the street. Once we proceeded northbound to Pine, we proceeded to make an eastbound turn. All of the subjects were there, I believe it was four of them that I remember, were pointing east. In the east direction, saying, "Hey, the guy sit right there. The guy's right there. He had a gun. The guy's right there." I then looked eastbound, and at the end of the alley, I see a male subject. I believe he had on a white shirt, male Hispanic, white or tan shirt. I can tell from the distance, but it was a short sleeve shirt, I believe. We proceeded to go down towards the direction of the subject because we could see him circling in the backyard area. Behind a 6-foot chain link fence. He's circling, and he doesn't notice us at this point. So we're proceeding, traveling down the alleyway. We stop our unit, and we exit. I exit the passenger side. Officer Enriquez exits the driver's side. We then proceed in the easterly direction towards the subject. He then notices us. And at this point, I'm ahead of Officer Enriquez. I have my gun drawn. And I'm giving him commands, put your hands in the air. He puts both of his hands in the air. I'm not sure if this subject with the gun, without a gun. I don't know who this guy is. I'm thinking that this guy could possibly have a gun on him. I then order him to the ground. At this point, he's facing me and Officer Enriquez. I'm ahead of him. Officer Enriquez is to my left, behind me. I'm telling him, get on the ground. He gets on the ground. He puts his hands up in front of him, but he's still looking around. He's not completely face down. And I'm telling him, put your face to the ground, because I don't want him to look around, possibly run or grab anything, because usually suspects, when they do that, they're about to run or something. So I'm thinking that this guy, he's not really listening. He's on the ground, but he's not listening to what I'm telling him. I'm saying, put your face down. I believe Officer Enriquez put out on the air, we had a guy at gunpoint. And I heard units responding on the air. We're both, and now we're at a point where me and Officer Enriquez are standing behind the gate. We have a suspect on the other side of the gate. And it's kind of like we're at a standstill because I don't know what's going on, or if somebody else is in the backyard or what. I didn't see him attempting to get up. But when I'm talking to him, he's saying something to the effect of, "I didn't do anything wrong. I'm looking for my girlfriend," or something like that. But he seemed like he was drunk or high or something. He was slurring his speech, so I think that he was drunk or something was going on. So I'm telling him again, just put your face down, put your face down. He's still, what did I do, what did I do? At this point, he's starting to get up, so he places his hands kind of like in a push-up position, but not directly under his chest, kind of like pushing his upper torso up. At this point, I holster up my weapon because I'm thinking this guy's about to run. So he then proceeded to stand up and proceeded to turn away from me. At this point, I jump over the chain link fence. He turns away. He's turning away. He's running. It's a very, very dark backyard. So I'm thinking, okay, this guy, I don't know what's going on. Is an amp? Something's going on. This guy's just not listening. He's acting real foggy, nervous. I was looking around. While I'm proceeding to jump over the fence, I believe I hear two gunshots. I then jump off the fence. I glance to my left and I see Officer Enriquez kind of pieing, I guess, to my left side here, like going in this direction. I then go after the suspect as he's running along the fence line, south of me. He's running along the fence line. And I believe it's a tarp and it's some cars, because it's hard for me to remember because it was happening so fast, but I believe it's a car underneath the tarp and it's another car back there, a Chevy truck or something, I think. So I'm running behind him. I hear the second set of gunshots. And I kind of duck a little and look and make sure I'm thinking I might have been hit or something. I don't know. I just kind of duck a little bit, and I'm very close to the suspect at this point. He may be 6 feet ahead of me, you know. So he then runs in between a fence or a wall. I don't know which one it is, a fence or a wall. I really can tell. In between a vehicle that's underneath the tarp and the wall. He then tries to climb over the fence area, and it's very, very tight, and I grab him at this point. I'm thinking, this guy, you know, he's still not listening. When I grab him, he's still trying to get away from me. He's moving his hands rapidly, and I'm thinking he may have a gun in his waistband, and I don't want him to get to his waistband, so I grab him. I grab one of his arms. He pulls away from me, and I punch him because I don't want him to get control or get away, grab me, possibly do a point-blank shot. So I'm thinking this guy still trying to do something because I'm still thinking he has a gun. So I punch him like two times. I grab him by both of his arms and I slam him to the ground. And then he's still trying to get up again. I may have punched him one more time, once or twice. I don't remember. I have to get his hands because I'm like, give me your hands. He's not really listening. When I punch him the second time, he then kind of throws his hands like he's trying to give up type of manner. And I grab it and I put handcuffs on one of his wrists. And I think I'm starting to cuff his second wrist, and I see Officer Enriquez come over the fence to assist me. I had to drag him out because we were in between the cars, very tight. It was very dangerous for me, so I'm trying to get control of him as soon as I can because I don't know, we're very, very close. Like if you smash in between the wall and the two brick walls, it's like really tight. So I grab him and I drag him from behind, from beneath the cars, because I didn't want us to be in this particular area. Because it wasn't safe. So I pulled him out, put my knee on his back, and I wait for people to get there. I believe Officer Reese got on the air, and then that's when a couple of officers came to assist us to take the guy in custody. I checked him for weapons, and finding weapons, and then I noticed that it was blood coming from his pants because I didn't realize he was shot because he started to scream, but I'm thinking this guy is not shot. I didn't know if he was shot or not. Seeing some blood on his pants, officers rendered aid and realized he had a gunshot wound to his left leg, I believe. And then I removed myself from the situation just to back off to kind of calm down. And then I walked away from the situation. Other officers handled the rest.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a little bit about your experience, then we'll go back through the whole incident again. How long have you been a police officer?
I'm 10 years.
And how much was sent in and how much was other agencies?
8 years here, 2.5 with Tustin PD. And I was a year reserve prior to that, so about 11 years total.
Okay.
All law enforcement.
And in that time, you have training in narcotics and recognition of different kinds of influence, 11-550?
Yes, I do.
And have you also had experience with gang members and identifying them?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you said you received the call. There were multiple calls coming in. Take me back through what you remember getting from dispatch, and we have the calls if you need to refer to them.
I do remember dispatch distinctly saying that they were getting multiple calls and multiple callers about this situation with this guy with the gun. You know, usually, you know, we go to calls, we hear calls go out, people with a gun, you know, we think that something's, you know, okay, yeah, everybody said it got a gun. But the multiple calls, they said, you know, my senses went up because I'm figuring something, this is a legit call.
Lend some credibility to it.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is a legit call. We're getting all these calls. This guy with a gun is, and we're right down the street. So I'm figuring, okay, we're right here. It's going out right now. Something is about to happen. So I figured from where I was getting dispatched with the multiple calls that this is a legitimate call. So I was ready to get out of the car as soon as I got there because I wasn't aware of it could possibly start shooting as soon as I go arrive on the scene. So that's what I was thinking when I went to the call when we got there.
And how long have you worked in that area?
Southeast area. I've been here in Santa Ana. I mean, I know that area quite well. I've been assigned to that unit once for 1 year, but I've been in the area for several years since I've been working here.
So even if you work another district, do you overlap and end up coming into Southeast?
Yeah.
And what do you know about the criminal activity in that area?
And there's a lot of shootings, gang shootings, homicides, you know, tagging, drugs, everything in that area, high crime area.
Okay, so the 417 calls that you received based on the neighborhood all seemed to fit, didn't seem like it was anything out of the ordinary for that particular neighborhood?
No, I've responded to several shootings and calls at that area all the time throughout my career. So.
Okay. And as you arrived, correct me if I'm wrong, I just wanted to go back through it to make sure I understand it correctly. Officer Enriquez is driving, you're the passenger officer, you're northbound on Ross. When you get to Pine, you see people pointing. Now, were they pointing on Pine, or are they pointing down the alley north of Pine?
Well, it was two subjects that were standing by the alley on Pine. They were pointing in the east direction. And then it was a subject who came to our unit, our police unit, which we were at the intersection pointing as well. So everybody's pointing in that direction. The guys who were at the alleyway, they ran down and said, hey, that's the guy right there, and they pointed. And then when I looked eastbound, I can clearly see the guy in the backyard. Unobstructed view, I see him there.
Okay, so he's already on the other side of the fence by the time that you come into the alley, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And if you could kind of describe his behavior a little bit, it sounds like it was a little bit unusual. Tell me a little bit about what you saw him doing.
Well, when we were going down there and I noticed him in the backyard, he appeared that he was trying to jump the fence towards our direction because it seemed like he was running from, I believe it was Birch on that side of the street. I believe it looked like he was running from that house or that residence, he was trying to jump the fence towards our direction because he didn't see us. So he was kind of pacing back and forth like he didn't know where he was going. He was, like, lost. He was like, okay, what do I do? Like, he was just trying to get away, like somebody was scared, you know. So he's pacing back and forth, and he's circling, and he's, you know, he looks like he's under influence, you know, of narcotics or something, from what I can tell, how, you know, plus that and plus trying to run and get away. This person seemed like he was very, you know, scared, agitated, just ready to get out of the area. He did not want to be there.
Didn't look like the behavior of somebody who belonged in that.
No, didn't like a resident. Didn't like nobody who lived there. It was somebody he was clearly trying to get away. He was clearly involved. I believe that.
Now, if I remember correctly, part of the information that you were given was that one of the suspects with a gun was wearing a brown hoodie or brown sweatshirt, something like that?
Yes, correct.
Did you see a brown hoodie anywhere around where that subject was?
No.
Okay. And you said that at that time he was wearing a, what kind of shirt, short sleeve?
Short sleeve, maybe tan or off-white or something. I believe it was like off-white or tan shirt.
Like a T-shirt or a button-up shirt?
Just a T-shirt.
Okay. in your experience in law enforcement, have you had previous foot pursuits?
Yes.
And have you also worked on perimeters where other officers have had foot pursuits?
Yes, I have.
And when has it been your experience when clothing descriptions come out that occasionally it'll change because suspects shed layers of clothing in order to perhaps not be identified?
Yes, it happens quite frequently.
And so even though he wasn't wearing the brown hoodie at the time you saw him, was it his behavior that made you suspect, plus the fact that they're pointing down there that perhaps this is him and he's just shed part of his clothing?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you recall if they gave you any other description or any additional information about his description?
I remember it was a brown hoodie, and there was another subject, I believe, that had a gray shirt or something. It was two subjects. That was supposedly, that's what the dispatch call said. One of the subjects, like I said, had the brown hoodie, and another person that maybe had a gray shirt or gray shirt on or button up or something like that.
And did they give race or age or anything?
They said male Hispanic in their 20s.
And did that match the suspect that, or the subject that you saw in the backyard?
Yes, he looked about 20 or so years of age, and he was a male Hispanic.
And based on your experience, do you look like a gang member, parolee? Is there anything else in unusual about that particular person that would kind of heighten your sense of danger, I guess, with him?
He appeared to be, like I said, his behavior, he appeared to be involved. He had a low-cut hair. He could have possibly been a gangster. I was concerned about that, but I was really concerned about make sure he wasn't going to shoot me.
Right.
But it appeared that I didn't think about him being a gangster, but he could have been. He could have been a gangster by the way he was dressed and his haircut and everything. But
do you notice any tattoos or anything like that on
him? No, I didn't notice any tattoos.
Okay. I think I want to go to the sketch. I'm not an artist. This is not to scale. This is as close as I can make it without having people out there that, have the equipment to do factuals. And just to confuse things a little bit, my north is this way instead of that way, only because I wanted more space laterally.
So this is pine or this is pine?
This is pine.
Oh, okay.
This is Ross. This is the T alley.
Okay.
The alley I believe that you entered into off of Ross.
That's correct.
This is a chain link fence, which is actually a gate, mm-hmm. or at least this part of it is a gate that swings open this direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Mustang here that looks like it's covered in stuff, some sort of a bench in front of it that's covered with junk, a green Dodge pickup, four trash cans, typical mm-hmm. dumpster type, trash cans that you wheel out by hand. There's a car here that was under a car cover, and this is just a block wall that separates 210 and 214 South Birch.
Okay.
And is this the backyard that you were talking about where you saw the subject?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have you indicate officers' positions in blue, and I guess since there's two officers, we'll just go last initial, and suspect in red, and we'll just use, we'll use S for suspect. If you could indicate with a red S where you first saw the suspect. Okay. And was this the fence that it looked like he was debating about whether to go over?
Yes, he attempted to go over, but he couldn't. He didn't make it.
Okay.
He actually climbed up on it and then jumped back down. And that's why, well, that's when I noticed when we were approaching that he jumped up and then jumped back down. So he attempted to make the fence, but he didn't make it.
Okay. And how far did you actually drive down the alley?
Maybe halfway down here. We were a little, halfway down, I think.
Yeah. And again, this isn't quite to scale. The alley kind of goes out a little bit farther on all three directions. And were you blacked out or did you have your lights on?
I believe we were blacked out.
Okay.
We were post blacked out.
And if you can recall, can you describe what the lighting conditions were in the alley?
They were lit up by, I believe, the street lights or whatever lights are back there from the pole on the poles. I don't know. I don't know if we call street lights or alley lights.
Okay.
So.
And when I was there, and of course I was there, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours after you were there, so it is possible for it to change. There was like a street light here. Does that sound about similar to the conditions that were in play when you were there?
Yes.
That would light up the T at least?
Yes.
And did that, I'm sorry,
when you said here, you pointed to the northwest corner of the intersection, the three-way intersection,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That sounds correct.
Okay. And did that also shed some light on the subject here through the chain link fence?
I believe so, and there may have been a light somewhere on one of these houses or something.
Some sort of porch light or something?
Yeah, something. I'm not sure. I mean, I may be wrong, but it was lit at that point.
Okay.
I believe it was another light over here or something. I'm not sure, but I think so. It was one more pole or something over here.
South of the intersection?
Yes.
Okay. and if you could indicate with G for Graham, E for Enriquez, when he first noticed you and you first started giving him commands, approximately on here where your positions were?
When I first began to give him orders? Type of
correct.
Thing.
When he first acknowledged you, you began giving him commands. And this is approximate. Okay. And you said initially he followed your commands when you told him to lay down on the ground?
Yes.
And did it take repeating the commands multiple times in order to get him down?
Yes, several times.
Okay. And was his head facing toward you, toward the fence, or was his head...
His head was facing towards the fence.
And did he ever lay his face down, or did he keep his face up to see where you were?
He never laid his face down, though. He always had it up.
And was he looking around, or was he looking at the officers?
He was looking around.
Okay. And what did that behavior indicate to you?
That he was about to flee or do something, maybe pull out a gun, something. He was doing something because it wasn't normal for somebody to have a gun pointed at him and not listen to, you know, what our commands were at that point. So I thought he was going to do something. I was waiting, you know,
okay,
for him to do something.
If you could, when the first shots were fired, you said it was initially two rounds and then some point later another two rounds. Is that correct?
Yes, it was two successions. Like,
and about how long in between, roughly?
Wow, that's good. Well, it was kind of like pow-pow, like kind of like just like that.
So just a matter of seconds in between, not like a prolonged period in between.
No.
Okay. And the positions that you've already indicated, is this about where you were when the shots were fired, or had anyone or the three of you started moving?
At this point, we were standing at the gate when he was faced, well, he wasn't really face down, but he was, well, laying down with his head up. I was very close to the fence at this point, still trying to make him, just telling him, put your face down to the ground, put your face down to the ground. And then he continued to look around, and then that's when he stood up. He started to stand up. And I'm still at the fence. And then once he stood up, he then proceeded to run eastbound in the backyard. He went around these cars here, this way, this direction, past the trash cans.
Okay. And at what point in here was the suspect when the shots were fired, roughly?
I know when I climbed the fence, and then when he went this direction, I believe I heard two shots. Once I landed, and I believe I went this way, I heard two more shots, and then we went all the way back. This is where I took him in custody at.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the suspect was about in here when the first two shots went off.
Okay. If you could draw a dotted line with the blue pen to show your where you traveled, and if you know, I realize your focus was probably more on the suspect, if you know what Officer Enriquez's position was, where he moved to when, at the point when the shots were fired.
Do you want me to go from this G, or maybe this, do you want me to go all the way here?
If you just draw a dashed line to show your direction of travel. And then you hop the fence?
Yes, I hop the fence.
And is he already running by this time?
Yes, he's running this way.
Okay, so he's running past the trash can south of the Dodge pickup.
Correct.
As you're coming over the fence?
Correct.
Okay. And then if you could show your travel through the yard.
I believe I went this side. Okay. It's kind of hard to remember, but I do think that I went this direction. Yeah, I believe so. I think I went this direction, so I came around this way. The suspect continued this way.
Okay, and you can do the red dashed line to show his Okay, and with the red pen, and I know that, you know, we're not going to narrow this down to, you know, within a millimeter of where, you know, the action happened, but if you could, with the red pen, draw an X, which will indicate approximately where you believe the suspect was at the time that you heard the shots, if you know.
The first set of shots? Or, like, what do you mean?
The
first time I heard the shots?
Yes.
Okay, he was somewhere in here, I believe.
Okay, so possibly somewhere around the Dodge pickup.
Yes.
And he's continuing to run as you hear the pop, pop, a pause, pop, pop?
Correct.
Okay. Then if you could just indicate your travel and where it was that you actually contacted him.
That's right.
You can just draw a circle or something. Okay. So this is a pretty tight space between the car and this fence here.
Correct.
Okay. About how much room did you have to work within there?
It was probably like half my width of my body plus about half.
Okay.
So it was about a body and a half of me. So that's about how close it was in proximity.
And I'm just guessing by how you're holding your hands open that we're talking about
just a little bit.
Maybe 3 feet-ish?
I do got picture numbers. Cool. I would say about maybe about 4 feet, I would guess.
Okay.
3 or 4 feet.
And is he still attempting to get over the fence to get away from you when you contacted him?
He was attempting to get over the car, because it seemed like the car is probably pressed up against this wall or something. So he's trying to get over it and climb over the car because it's so tight. He's trying to climb like out from in between the wall and the car to get over the car.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I don't know, I can't visualize it, but I know that he was appearing to climb over like he was stuck in a sense.
Was there junk or, you know, any debris, things laying back there?
The tarp was there. He could have tripped over something. You know, I don't remember.
Okay. So he's kind of hung up a little bit.
Yes.
And are you giving him any commands as you're going back to contact him back there?
I'm telling him to stop. I'm telling him, I said, stop running. And he's continuing to try to get away at this point.
Okay. And based on the lighting conditions and when you first contact him, is there any doubt in your mind that he knew you were a police officer?
Not at all. He knew I was a police officer.
Okay. Do you recall whether or not he said anything to you? Do you reply when you gave him commands?
At which point?
At any point during this, do you recall if he said anything?
Well, he did when I told him to get to the ground. He said, you know, I didn't do anything. I'm just waiting for my girlfriend. What, I believe. And he said, I'm not doing anything wrong or something like that.
And that's when you first contacted
yes.
him back here while you were on one side of the fence and he was on the other?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. Do you know what position Officer Enriquez was in when he fired the shots?
I do know that he was just north of me here on the fence line, because I do remember him flanking me. So once he was standing close to the entry part of the gate, and I was closer to the middle part of the gate, kind of standing in direct path of the suspect. Once I jumped the fence, I do remember him flanking me even more north, and that's the last place I remember seeing him.
Okay.
So kind of like a 45-degree angle type of thing.
Just to help me kind of visualize it, if you could indicate with the pen, with the G in your path, if you can recall approximately where your position was when you heard the shots. And again, I know that, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know,
right.
narrow this down to the millimeter, but approximately.
I'm not sure if it was actually when I was on the fence or when I first hit the ground. You know, I'm not sure.
Okay, so at some point as you're going over, you believe?
You know,
maybe?
Or
just got over?
I just got over. I'm not sure. I believe maybe when I was just jumping down. But it was somewhere in a succession. It was somewhere in a place of me getting over the fence directly to in between here somewhere where I heard the first shots.
Okay. And you're indicating, just pointing somewhere about at the fence line.
Yes, correct.
And you said that Officer Enriquez had flanked you and you had pointed closer to the fence line. Had he moved up close to the fence?
Yes.
Before firing the rounds?
Yes.
Okay. And if I understand correctly, you didn't know that the suspect was shot until after you had actually physically contacted him and taken him down?
That's correct.
Okay. So when you engaged him here, how was it that you took hold of him or you know, first physically contacted him?
We were in between the car and the wall. He's trying to climb over. I grabbed his shoulder blades and was trying to grab his hand, and then he was pulling away from me, and then that's the point I punched him.
Okay, and what part of his body did you punch him?
His face.
Okay, and was he turned back toward you, or did you kind of punch around sort of the side of his face?
He was turning
or?
Towards me at this point. Like because we're here, and I believe his left shoulder, when I grabbed him, he kind of turned
mm-hmm.
towards me this way. He pulled, but I do remember his body turning sideways, like kind of towards in my direction, which made me believe that he was going to attack me or punch me or anything, and that's why I proceeded to punch him.
Okay. And at that point, did you punch him once, twice?
I believe two times.
Okay. And did it appear that had any effect on him?
Initially, no. Really, the second punch, it kind of staggered him a little bit, and that's when I grabbed him and took him to the ground.
Okay. And when you took him to the ground, if I recall correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounded like you were trying to remove him from this tight area and pull him out. Was it back toward the rear of this car that had the car cover?
Yes.
Okay. And were you successful in pulling him out, or did you have to use some other force in order to get him out of there?
No, I pulled him out.
Okay. Once you pulled him out to the back of the car, what happened?
I believe I was asking for his hands again. It's kind of fluid, so it's kind of, I'm trying to remember.
Sure.
Correct.
Take your time.
I believe when he, I think he was trying to get up again, and I punched him one more time. And then he kind of went back to the ground, and I put my knee on his back, and then grabbed his hands and proceeded to handcuff him.
Okay. So when you pulled him back there, you were telling him, give me your hands?
Yes.
Okay. Did he respond at all verbally to you?
No.
And what did he do physically?
I forcefully grabbed his hand. He didn't volunteer to give them to me.
Okay. Where were his hands in relation to his body? How did you have to grab him in order to get them behind
his
back?
They were kind of in the, like when you fall to the ground, like if you would brace yourself with your elbows,
mm-hmm.
He kind of have his elbows in front of him. It was his kind of like this, his fist, like in his chest area.
Okay.
So kind of like if he was to fall and like this.
And did you use like a wrist lock or something? Or
I just grabbed his arm and pulled it behind his back.
Pulled it out?
Yes.
And were you able to handcuff him then, or was it not until additional officers came back to assist?
I handcuffed him.
Okay. And you didn't fire your weapon during this time, correct?
No, I did not.
Okay. And did you see the wound on the suspect?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And where was the wound?
Initially, I believe it was in his left butt cheek and then on his left leg.
Okay. You mean that's where you saw the blood on his pants, or did you see the actual wound itself?
I think officer recalled cut his pants, leg, and then I seen the gunshot wound on the leg. And then the blood I seen physically from checking him for weapons, I seen him, his butt cheek was bleeding.
Okay.
Which I thought, I don't know where it came from, but it was blood on his pants near his butt cheek.
Okay. And did you come in contact with his blood?
Yes, I did.
Okay. What do you have?
Did this guy speak entirely in English?
Yes, I didn't hear. I don't remember hearing any Spanish.
And you said he was wearing a light-colored T-shirt, I believe is what you said when you saw him?
Yes, I believe so.
Tight-fitting? Loose?
Just a normal fit. Not really tight, just a kind of regular T-shirt. I don't think it was tight-fitting or anything. Just a regular T-shirt.
Did you see his waistband?
No, I don't remember seeing his waistband.
Had, prior to you placing handcuffs on the suspect, had he been searched at all?
No. And from the light, actually from the initial contact where it was more lit here, the further we got in the backyard, it was darker. At this point, I don't believe there was any lights near this area. It was very dark back there. So it was me and him, and it was very dark. I didn't know what to expect. It's going through my mind. I don't know what to expect. Could be ambush, anything going on. And my main concern was getting him in custody and make sure he didn't hurt me or my partner.
And what he was wearing, could he have had a firearm concealed that you couldn't see, readily see visible when he was out here?
Yes. I couldn't see his waistband. I believe his shirt was over his belt midsection area.
Okay. And do you recall whether or not there were any other people in the backyard?
No.
Any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Just one thing real quick, just because it's late and I'm a little slow. So back here, in order to try to gain compliance, you punched him twice in the face. And then once you pulled him back here, he was on the ground, but he had his hands tucked under him.
Okay.
And refused to give you his hands, even though you were ordering him to. And you delivered one more punch, or was there more than that? Or
no, I believe it was only one.
Okay. And was that also in the face?
Yes.
And did that seem to have an effect on him?
Yes.
And so you were able to get his arms behind his back after that?
Yes.
Okay. And once you had him on the ground here, is that when Officer Enriquez climbed the fence and came back to assist you?
Yes.
Okay.
As you're going to this call, we'll go backwards here real quick. As you're going to the call, you said earlier, and I think the three of us would concur with this, as you hear that there's multiple people calling in about this guy with the gun, did you and Enriquez talk about the call on your way there?
No, we didn't.
Okay. As you arrive on scene here and you're driving through the alley before you get out of the vehicle, let's step back. At what point did you see the suspect first? Were you inside the vehicle or were you out of the vehicle?
We were inside the vehicle, and I actually told, I'm talking to Dave, I didn't tell him, hey, there's a guy right there. I took my gun out at that point. I was still in the car, so I had already pulled my firearm out of my holster.
And you said you did tell him there's the guy?
Yes.
Okay. And did Dave say anything to you?
No, I don't believe so. I was focused on the guy. He may have said something, but I don't know.
Fair enough. Yeah, and did the two of you communicate with each other from that point on? You and Dave?
Not that I remember.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anything else? Do you have anything else to add that will assist in our investigation that we didn't ask or that you'd like to clarify?
No, only that, like I said earlier about the darkness in the backyard, it was very dark back there. And me thinking going there, some initial contact, but it was so tight in there for some reason. I don't remember. I mean, I know it was really tight in there. And my concern was definitely him. I don't know if he hit a gun back there or anything, and I don't want him to get away from me because I was so close to him. That's the reason why I went after him, because I'm right here. We really was, like, inches away from each other. Like, the fence was the only thing that separated us. So I wanted to get him in custody because I didn't want him to go and get a gun maybe on the ground underneath the car. I don't know, because he was in the backyard before we got there. So that was what my thought process was.
Did you have any concern... in addition to that, that based on the information that you were given with all of the calls, that had he escaped, that he could still be a danger to the public?
Yeah, he could. You know, I don't know if he was headed for the house. It could have been children or people inside of the house. My thing is, if he got in there, he could have harmed somebody, shot somebody, anything, because I'm not sure if he was, you know, armed or not. So I wanted to get him before he harmed somebody else or even get in the house. He was running towards the house at this point.
Okay. Anything else before we go off tape?
No.
Alrighty. Time is 4:18 a.m. and we'll go off tape.